WGBW.
AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A white supremacist prison gang member and an accomplice bolted from a hospital in Boise, Idaho today, where the prisoner had been taken, shot and wounded prison officers, and then sped off in a car, says Boise Police Chief Ron Weiniger.
It appears to be a 2020 gray Honda Civic, and that vehicle was seen fleeing from the scene. We do not know where that vehicle is right now.
Both men considered dangerous. President Biden celebrating an agreement to provide Intel with billions of dollars for factories to make computer chips in Ohio, Arizona, New Mexico, and Oregon. The chips are used in products from cars to phones to appliances and more. A woman acting as a Good Samaritan was shot in the face when she stopped to help people involved in a car crash in Cumberland County, North Carolina, says the sheriff's office. Another woman's arrested in the case. Record high closes for Wall Street major indexes today. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official has been found guilty of election fraud when she used fake names to get multiple military absentee ballots. A jury found Kimberly Zabata guilty on Wednesday. They rejected claims by her attorney that she's a whistleblower exposing gaps in the state's voting system. She was basing those assumptions on proven false conspiracy theories stemming from the 2020 presidential election. She could go to prison for up to 5 years. Wisconsin is set to get new electric vehicle charging stations. Governor Evers signed a duo of bills making it easier for gas stations to open the charging stations and sending nearly $80 million federal dollars to help build them. The funding is designed to build vehicle chargers that can fully charge a car in less than an hour. The funding will support building 65 charging stations across the state. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about. I want to start off by laying out my view on privatization. We've talked about this for years. I've asked, what is it that we've privatized that has been sold to us? We're going to get better, faster, cheaper. It's going to be the cat's knees, the bee's knees, the cat's meows, whatever. It's going to be fabulous. Name me something that we've privatized that actually worked out. Name me something that we've privatized that we didn't lose control of. That the profit motive outweighed the need for actually providing a service, and that didn't eventually cost us more down the line. The quality was crummy. Security for jobs and for infrastructure and for people not there. There's no accountability. And ultimately, the public loses access to these assets. It's short-term thinking. And it's always been that. So when the Medicare Advantage plans came out, when the privatized version of Medicare came out, I said, this is bad. I'm anti-privatization. This is privatizing Medicare. But hey, they sold it. It's going to be great. We've got all these extra benefits that aren't covered by Medicare. We could give you some vision, some dental, some hearing, wellness programs. Oh, gym memberships. Might even buy you sneakers. See how wonderful this is? And the ads are amazing. how wonderful the programs are, how terrific it is, how we're going to limit out-of-pocket costs. It's going to be so convenient. We're going to bundle the hospitals and the doctors as long as you stay in network. And there's going to be coordinated care as long as you stay within our confined group. They claim to have some drug benefits and a little bit, but it's going to cost. It's going to save money, they say. But the reality is when you look at it, not so much. Now, here's the thing. That's the benefits. These are the benefits, they say. You'll get tennis shoes. But if you get sick and you actually need it, not great, because it does have a limited network. Again, these are only the people who take the privatized version of Medicare. You need pre-authorization, you know, got to make sure that we think it's okay. And we know what they do. They deny, always deny, 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 hoping you'll forget or give it up or die. You need referrals and you need all of these, again, jumping through hoops, over barriers, going through doors and windows just to get the care that people need. And the sad reality is when you look at the costs, the co-payments, the co-insurance, the deductibles, all of the stuff, it actually, if you're sick, it's going to cost you more than Medicare. They don't tell you that in the glossy brochures and on the radio ads that they're spending. Understand, millions and millions of dollars that should be going into taking care of people. Millions of dollars that should be going into, making sure Granny's okay. They can change the plan whenever they want, evidently. Each year, they got the chance. Well, we've decided this one's working out for you too well. And yet, did I mention that they could actually terminate the plan? Because, you know, it's working too well for you. And here's the thing. I got to tell you, I've talked to a lot of people who have gotten into situations where they have bought into the idea that I'm going to get all this stuff. It's going to be cheaper. It's going to be better. It's going to be amazing. Only to find out when they got sick, not so much. And then you find out just how complex the insurance industry is, with their various rules, all the coverage limitations, all the costs that, you're going to have to resubmit form 267XBY because, that's just how it works. Now, you're supposed to do all this while you're sick, while you're fighting to get better, while you're fighting cancer or whatever. And ultimately, if you do get sick, it's going to cost you more. They don't tell you that when they're making that high pressure sales pitch, when the TV ads are going. They don't tell you any of that. And the sad reality, too many people think, it's a little bit cheaper. I can save a little bit of money. And what do they end up with? They end up getting into a lot of trouble. And my next guest is that cautionary tale. Did everything she was supposed to do, but got sick. Had the audacity to get sick. Bought into one of these privatized Medicare plans. And she's paying for it. When we come back, Jen Coffey's going to be here to share her story with us. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, you know, as we've gone through the pros, the cons, the goods, the bads of this Medicare Advantage, I got to tell you, the cons outweigh the pros by an awful lot. And my next guest is going to tell you a story that could be any one of us, could be anyone. No matter what you did for a living, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, this, sadly, kind of the cautionary tale. And that's why I've asked Jen Coffey to come talk with us, a former state representative, someone who has suffered from breast cancer and now a debilitating illness that, well, sadly, having a real problem with. And that's why I've asked Jen to come talk with us. Jen, thanks for taking time for us.
Happy to be here. And so, I'm really glad that you're doing this because it's important to warn people so they don't end up like me. No, that's why I'm here today.
It's important to talk about because, look, everywhere we look, Jen, there are these ads going, how wonderful. It's open enrollment season, Jen. You can get all these wonderful perks and all of these, you know, gym memberships. And, it's an advantage. And, you know, you never really, they don't advertise the downside, which is not good.
No, it's not. It's not good at all. And I was an EMT. I worked in medicine for 20 years. And in 2013, I got breast cancer. It was actually the second bout of cancer that I had had. And so it was a pretty rough situation. Unfortunately for me, I had a radical mastectomy. And after surgeries, it was said and done. I came out of the hospital in the wheelchair. And that was the end of my EMS career. I ended up developing some very rare disorders, one being complex regional pain syndrome. And that is the most painful disease known to modern medicine. 70% of people who have it will consider or complete suicide, and that includes children. And I'm unfortunately one of those people that did consider it. Obviously, I'm still here today, but I worry about the rest of the people in my community. When you're looking at 70% of people, that's a lot. And when you're dealing with health insurance companies that are out there to make a buck and not to take care of you, because remember, these guys don't make money unless they don't pay for you. When they're spending the money on you, well.
Yeah. No, insurance companies don't make money paying out. They make money collecting and not paying out, which is why we see, well, we need pre-certification and we need, you know, all of these schemes on all of these loopholes and all of these hurdles to get over before you get any care. It's all part of the design, and it's part of the design of what these Medicare Advantage plans do. And that's, to me, what they never really, they don't tell you that.
They don't. And you know what they're liking to tell people now and what they're telling our elected officials and what they're trying to convince you of is that everybody loves it. Don't you see? There's more people enrolled in Medicare Advantage than traditional Medicare. And I'm going to tell you why that is. And that is because in all but about 4 states in the entire country, when you're on Medicare Advantage and you've been on it and now you're sick and you're not getting coverage, you can only go back to traditional Medicare if you can get a supplement. Well, you can't get a supplement if you have a pre-existing condition. It's not true that we've wiped that out in our society. Matter of fact, I could show you quite plainly where there's an actual carve out in the law of the state of New Hampshire that allows insurance companies to refuse to cover you, to refuse to underwrite you, and refuse to issue you that policy, or make it so exorbitantly high you can't afford it. And when they do that, whatever it is that's pre-existing, they don't have to cover it for like a year. So if you live through the year, then maybe you can get that supplement. So I can't go back to traditional Medicare unless I'm prepared to pay 20% for every single medical bill, every single bill. So without being able to access a supplement, I'm doomed. And believe me, I've talked to insurance brokers. I had one practically laugh at me because no one's going to underwrite you. Are you kidding? And I even called the New Hampshire Insurance Commissioner's office, and I was told to talk to the Fed. That was their answer. Talk to the Fed.
Wow.
So I'm stuck here. I don't want this. I'd rather pay more money for traditional Medicare that's going to cover everything that I need to live than to have to continuously go back. And in my case, it's United Healthcare. I've been fighting with them for about a year now to have access to my ketamine infusions, which after being 2 years bed bound, got me out of that bed. I need this treatment to live. I've paid for it out of my own pocket all along because insurance wouldn't pay. And I didn't even know how to begin to fight. Until last year, I started trying to fight. And now here I am, as I'm sitting here in front of you today, I'm fighting for them to issue me a prior authorization that says I can be infused on the 25th of this month. If they don't do that, I'm prepared to walk in there with my credit card because that's what I got left. I mean, I had a home. I had over 5 acres of land. I was proud of what I had acquired. And I'm sitting here in a rental apartment. I've sold everything I ever had that was of value. And I've used every dime of that to pay for my medical care because I don't want to die yet.
No, and this is why, you know, I was going to ask you, you know, because I watched the video you have on social media, and I, you know, and I've learned some things about you. You're someone who did everything right. I mean, you were a state representative. You worked your whole life. You got to the place where you're going to retire, and you know, you got to a place where we want to get, and because of an illness, because of our system, you're now kind of you're really in a rough spot.
I lost everything. I lost my dignity. I've lost everything in this fight. I mean, I was really proud of what I had achieved in life. And I volunteered. I was 911. If you called 911 in the town that I had my home in, it could be me that was going to be showing up at your house. You know, I did for my community. I worked at the local hospital. I, you know, tried to do everything right. You know, be a good person, pay your taxes. And I went into the hospital with breast cancer, and I came out losing my career, lost my marriage, lost my home, lost everything. And, you know, here I am today. And I mean, at this point, I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm fighting for not just myself, but for other people. But I want to keep talking about this and getting people like you to talk about it, because I want other people to be warned. Don't get on Medicare Advantage. Don't let your loved one get on Medicare Advantage. Sure, it looks good on the outside, cheaper, yeah. But then you get sick.
Now, I want to ask you about
how $300 bill for every night in the hospital. You've got co-pays for everything, co-insurance. I mean, I go to the one doctor, the one MD in my state that can actually take care of me, administer all of my treatment. And I have to fight to get him paid. My last infusion, these are 4-hour infusions that are done under sedation. They're not a joke. And for me, they're quite miserable. They have kind of an awful effect. I end up sick and getting sick for the rest of the day. It's not a joy to go through, but it enables me to be able to have a quality of life worth living. And they paid my doctor $1.22. But wait, I appealed it. So they revised it to $1.01. They literally subtracted 11 cents.
How?
And now I can show you this in black and white, and I'm happy to share it. I've shared it with many different people. I've shared it to my senators, Senator Shaheen, Senator Hassan. They've both been trying to help me fight for care by trying to be a go-between between me and the insurance company. But the insurance company keeps getting away with these abuses. I can't access the same care I used to give. I mean, that's kind of, it's, there's so many things about this that's absolutely, just absolute bullshit. And they use every excuse in the book, but they don't pay the bill. So what happens? My doctor can't pay his bills. He can't pay his staff. Well, then does he get rid of the services because he's going to cut back? Does he close? There are hospitals across this country that are going to stop taking Medicare Advantage because they're not getting paid. I mean, they literally marked my claim paid and had the audacity to tell CMS, we paid it, who went back to my senators and went, they said they paid it, and he's contracted to whatever they pay. I said, I am 100% sure that my doctor didn't contract to get $1.01 for a 4-hour ketamine infusion where I'm sedated to get through it.
That's amazing.
This is what I'm living with. It's a nightmare.
And it can happen to anyone. And this is why, you know, I see these plans and I see the bright and shiny brochures, and I hear on the radio constantly, you can sign up for this blah, blah, blah plan and how wonderful it is. We're the best ever, you know? And yet I hear your story. And look, you're not the only one I've heard these stories from that, you know, it's great. It's, you got a beautiful card in your wallet. They give you gym memberships. It's all sunshine and rainbows until you actually get sick and need it. And then it's, you know, we need referrals and we need pre-authorizations and we need all of these hurdles and boxes to be checked. And then, oh, by the way, and this has got to be the hardest part, because as you said, this is a debilitating illness you have. You've now got to fight to stay at least functional, fight to get up in the morning, and now you got to fight with the people who are supposed to be insuring you just to get the bill paid so that you can feel better. I got to tell you, I don't know how you're sitting there as calm as you are, but I don't think I would be.
I have my moments like anybody else. I'm human. I mean, I feel it. There are moments where I can feel pretty down. I mean, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not giving up. I came close to giving up on myself once. Very close. Uncomfortably close.
And that's just to make the pain stop,
in part,
right?
There was a huge change in my life. And as much as things are hard right now, I'll decide when the time comes, when I can't handle anymore. And I won't be, unfortunately, that's another option for people with CRPS. There's a Paralympian named Varut who had CRPS, and she actually was a double amputee, because that's one of the treatments, is to cut off limbs.
Right.
She ended up going to, I believe it was Belarus or Belgium, for assisted suicide, death with dignity. That's what we can have.
But I got to imagine, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to imagine, though, I got to think, you know, because I'm thinking about myself, and if I were in your situation, I think just the sheer anger and spite to these insurance companies, it would keep me going. I think that I gotta think that's part of it. No,
I don't. I think it's because I spent 20 years of my life as a provider, and in a sense, it's almost given me a line back in that I really, really, really want to stop other people from having this happen.
Right.
I really want my disease to get awareness. I really want ketamine infusions to be approved by the FDA. I'm part of a task force that's been talking to them. We're blue in the face, because the alternative for people like me are opioids and narcotics. Let's snow us out until we can't feel anything anymore. It made me a different person that I didn't like. And I'm never going back to opioids and narcotics as the only way to stay alive.
So
I'll whack a credit card, or I'll find some other way. But I'm going to get my infusion on the 25th, whether I whack a credit card for it or I get that prior authorization that I've been trying to get since January.
Now, are people taking up a collection? Are you doing a GoFundMe thing?
No.
I know you're part of the Be a Hero group.
Be a Hero is an amazing organization. BeAHeroFund.com. If you're inclined to donate to the organization, I know that they can use every ounce to keep fighting this. I mean, I'm one of so many millions of people across this country who are suffering, and the tools to give them a quality life is locked up in a hospital or a doctor's office right near them, but they don't have the dollars to get through the door. It shouldn't be like that in this country. People should be able to get the healthcare they need when they need it. And the only people making those decisions should be me. And that's something else. I want medical freedom. I want my doctor and me and my family to make my decisions that's best for me, not an insurance company locking me out until I'm going to die and I don't have a choice, because that's what I got now. They'll cover me for maybe some hospice. I'm sure I could get them to do that.
Yeah, they'll cover to kill you.
But they're going to cover the infusion that gives me my life. There's medications that I pay 100% out of pocket because these jerks won't pay a dime. They actually, I'll tell you, there's a medication I'm on called low-dose naltrexone. It's been a huge difference for people with diseases like mine, the small fiber neuropathy like I have, and it's opened up a new world in neurological treatment. I wanted them, forgive me, I'm conflating medications. Let me back that up. The medication I'm trying to refer to is called Mestinon. I have tamoxifen retinopathy. I was on tamoxifen to try and prevent the breast cancer from coming back, but unfortunately it did a lot of damage to my body. And it became toxic to me, and I actually have a hole in the middle of my right eye, and that's never going to get better. Mestinon does something to increase the way the small muscles work and I can see better. But when it wears off, can't see.
Right.
To get it affordable, I use a GoodRx coupon at a grocery store so I can get it for $40 a month. Because to go to my insurance, it's $80 a month. And they had the audacity to chastise me and say, you know, your money's not going towards your deductible. That's the problem. You need to do it through your Optum so it goes towards your deductible. I'm like, but it's twice the money. So they tell me I can apply for a tier exception to try and get the money down. It was going to bring it down to like $41. And then the money would count towards my deductible.
Yeah, but Jen, who's got the time to fight through all this and fill out forms and go to websites and beg for all this stuff?
And this is what I've been doing. This is what I do every day. This is how I spend my life, to try and stay alive, to keep ahead of it all. I've been working since January to get my next infusion covered, and I'm still struggling with that. You're constantly trying to figure out, where can I save money here, or what can I do there? Because see, like my infusions, I have to pay for those. If I don't have the money, I'm not getting the infusion. I have to pay for it. And I've always done it myself. Last year, the year before, things got tough. Our rent went up $400, which is a lot. It was a huge jump. And, money's going to come. So I started spacing my infusions out more, and it's caused
It should not have to be this way. So last line of questioning I got for you, because I'm curious, what drew you to the Medicare Advantage plan at the beginning when you were healthy, before you got into this? Because look, the slick ads, all that stuff, because I want people to understand that it sounds great on the front end, sounds beautiful. So I'm curious, what is it that grabbed you in that made you go, hey, this is what's right for me?
It was a partially desperation. I was so sick. We didn't know everything that was wrong with me. I was in the hospital every 3 to 4 weeks because I couldn't breathe. And all kinds of crazy stuff I was going through. I couldn't think straight. I just lost my house. I lost everything I owned. I was trying to just survive. And you have, you're going on disability now. I mean, I had a career. I had more than one job. Now I'm going on disability. I got to save every penny. I got to pay rent now. Like, what do I do? It was, less money. Well, that'll help you, right? Because it's less money. And it's supposed to cover everything Medicare covers. But that's not the truth. That's the lie they sell us. That's the lie they sold me. And I bought it. And by the time I figured it out, it was too late. Because I can't go back. I want to. I tried, but I can't, because nobody will underwrite me, so I can't get a supplement. I've had people tell me to stop whining and move to a state that won't use my pre-existing conditions against me. But my specialist is here. You have no idea. I mean, when you have rare diseases, finding the right doctors, Jesus, it takes years to see. It took me years to get diagnosed.
Yeah, and not just this. I mean, the fact is, you'd have to move. You don't have the strength to do that. You don't have the resources to do that.
How do I move my life? How do I move away from my son?
Yeah.
My heart. How do I leave my heart? No. I'll do whatever I have to. I don't freaking care, because I don't want to die. I'm not ready yet. I want to stick around. I got things I want to do. And at this moment, I want to shut this crap down. This isn't okay. When I was a provider, I never thought about money. Yeah. You're thinking about taking care of people, and now being on this side and seeing, the care is right there. It's like a silver platter in front of your plate, and you can't have it unless you can afford it.
Let me ask you, I said last question, what one of these injections cost? What one of these infusions cost? I mean, since you have to pay it out of your pocket, how much does it cost these providers to get this for you? What are we talking about?
I'm lucky. It costs my provider more. I pay $600. I'm lucky because I'm grandfathered into that rate. I was their first ketamine patient in that particular practice. But now it's $950, and that's still being reasonable. You got to pay the staff. You got to be on cardiac monitoring. Everything has to. I'm under sedation. I'm completely out of it. No. I'm out. It takes too much. Yeah, $600, they won't pay for an infusion. But they made $140 billion in profit. I'm begging for $600 infusion. And they're throwing parties while they're celebrating. Their first quarter profits last year were huge.
Yeah.
They made like $8 billion in 3 months. And they won't.
No, they made it off of the backs of, sadly, of folks like you. Jen, I wish you the best. Please keep us up to date on what's going on. I wish you the best. And I hope to talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep warning people. Don't let anybody else end up like me.
Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate it. BeAHeroFund.com. Take a look at that. If you got a couple of bucks, throw it in that direction. It's amazing to me. We're talking about a couple hundred bucks to make someone's life better. But I guess the bottom line, I guess the profit, that's what matters. Sad, sad reality. For our Free Speech TV audience, thanks so much for tuning in. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. For our radio affiliates across the country, right back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see increasing clouds in the overnight, lows as cold as the middle teens. We'll have north winds, a mix of clouds and sunshine Thursday, highs reaching the mid-30s. Snow develops late Thursday night, 1 to 3, perhaps 4 inches of snow by Friday morning. It's 21 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, Social Security and Medicare back on the topic list. And you saw the president during the State of the Union go, hey, we're going to protect it. No cuts. He's going to be the champion of Social Security and Medicare. And thank goodness. And almost immediately, you got Donald Trump who, you know, in this game of red hat, blue hat, if Biden's for something, Trump's got to be against it. You know, and this is sadly where we are. Even though Trump said, you know, he said he was gonna protect Social Security, he was gonna save it. Now, during his tenure, during the 4 years that he was in, he proposed cuts to Social Security in every single one of his budgets. But hey, this time, well. No, this time he's being honest. He does want to cut Social Security. And here to share some thoughts on where we are in this political cycle and what this issue means, I've asked Vanessa Fields to come talk with us. She's an AFSCME retiree, former social worker for Philadelphia Department of Health and Human Services. Vanessa, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So when you hear President Biden say, I'm going to be the guy who saves it, you hear Trump say he's going to be the guy who's going to cut it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Trump, like you said in the very beginning, whatever Trump, whatever Biden says he's for, Trump is against. And, you know, when Trump made the comment that Social Security and Medicare are entitlements, clearly this just shows you just how out of touch he is with working folk. He doesn't even know that we pay into it. You know, we paid into this for our entire career, and it was not a giveaway. We earned it. Again, it just shows you how he's so out of touch. Thank God for Joe Biden. You know, he said he was going to vow to keep Social Security and Medicare. So clearly, Biden is the person for workers. Trump isn't. You know, he's the one that gave all kind of legislation to help the rich get richer.
While the working
and
class
when
gets...
you're talking about taking away Social Security.
Well, you know, look, they want to raise the age. They want to make cuts. So tell me a little bit about yourself, about your career. I mean, public servant. And I know in this day and age, it's popular in one side of the political aisle to go after public sector workers. But, you know, your life spent dedicated helping folks. Tell me a little bit about it.
So I was a social worker for 40 years. I'm a retired social worker after 40 years. 30 of those years I worked for the city of Philadelphia. I investigated child abuse and neglect. It was a tough job, but as a trained social worker, I just felt that I really did a lot for my community, help kids, help families get on the right track. So, I mean, it was a tough job, like I said, but it was well worth those 30 years of looking out for families and children. But also during that time, I became very active with my union. And I was a shop steward. I ran for executive board of my local union and eventually was elected as vice president of my council in 2014, where my focus was on Social Security. Well, not Social Security. It was on everything political.
Right.
And now I'm serving as president of the retiree chapter.
Good for you. But, you know, look, sadly, and you said, you know, Social Security and political, and sadly, Social Security has become political. This should be a nonpartisan issue, taking care of the people who paid into their entire life, honoring our promises to a generation that did what they were told they had to do. They worked hard. They played by the rules. They should be okay. We should be making sure they're okay. And to have someone like Trump saying, well, maybe not. Now, look, Social Security is not, you know, the greatest of livings from what I'm told. We haven't adjusted COLAs as well as we should have over the last couple of decades. There's problems. We could be solving a lot of those problems. But I look at, you know, someone like you, a retiree. How is Social Security working for you? How is Medicare working to help support you in your retirement years?
So even though I'm retired, like a lot of folk, I'm taking care of my grandkids right now. You know, as we get older, you know, we're taking care of grandkids, we're taking care of our elderly parents. And so the combination of my pension from the city and Social Security allows me and my grandsons to live a comfortable life.
Good for
me also, I'm on five different medications because I have hypertension and I have a heart problem. And so being able, once they, I think it was whatever legislation that Biden put into place, which cut the cost of major prescriptions that you have to take, right? So the five prescriptions that I take, I only have to pay for one of them. And wow, it's only a $10 copay. And as you know, well, you may not know, it, and the prescription is for 90 days. So $10 for 90 days, that's it. So thanks to Medicare, I don't have to make the decision in terms of, am I going to pay for my prescriptions or am I going to buy groceries? So Medicare and Social Security has definitely helped in terms of my quality of life and retirement. And like you said, for city workers especially, we work hard. We gave services to the city. We should be able to live a decent life in retirement.
No, absolutely. And you know, the thing that I love hearing is the fact that the programs that President Biden has moved on, especially during the Inflation Reduction Act and the American Rescue Plan, are actually getting to people, that we're actually doing the things that we hear the president talking about, like reducing the cost of prescription drugs, that it's actually filtering down to we the people. I think that's important. And let me ask you about your fellow retirees then. Are you getting a sense that they understand where this is coming from, or is this just, well, you know, benevolency of somewhere?
No, you know, it definitely is. I mean, when I, you know, as stated also, you know, I'm president of the retirees chapter. So at different events, during our meetings and stuff like that, we're talking about the differences between Trump and Biden. And I'm going to tell you, we are very fearful of Trump getting back in the office because we know what Trump stands for. And it's not for retirees. It's not for your average working person. And it's going to be a nightmare for us. So it is so important that we get Biden in there because we know that Trump is not for us. Trump is only for Trump.
Yeah, no, that's that. But also, you know, I go back to, you know, 2018, and because of Trump's Supreme Court nominees, a decision that they made, the Janus versus AFSCME decision, harmed workers like you across the country, making the entire country a no rights at work kind of situation for public sector workers. So is this something that your fellow retirees, is this something they remember? Is this something that you see current members kind of remembering? Because we like to think we were better off than 4 years ago. The sad reality is Trump did some real damage to working people during his tenure.
Oh, absolutely. When you talk about the Janus decision, and the bad thing is that for younger folk, younger workers, they don't know what it took. They don't know how it was before certain things were in place. You know, they don't know about, you know, laws that protect children from, you know, that they don't have to work, or just basic safety issues or decent contracts. They don't understand it. So for retirees, we know what it took. We know how it was. And so we're out there trying to make sure that younger workers, newer workers know about the struggle it took to get these benefits, and that they vote for Biden. And again, not for Trump. I sound like a broken record, but I mean, to me, it is a non-decision. I mean, it's like, are you serious? You want this man?
No,
he's with 1%.
And I look, the reality is, you know.
And let's forget that Biden.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's not forget that Biden was the only president who actually was on the picket line, UAW.
Absolutely. I guess he found Obama's comfortable shoes and found a picket line, which I love saying because it's sadly true. But you know, here's the thing, and this is what's frustrating, in that I've had someone tell me that, well, President Trump didn't really mean he was going to cut Social Security. So when you hear Trump say it, and you hear people say, well, he didn't really mean it, especially media types, you go, well, you know, he was talking about some nuanced thing over here. What do you think, and what do you hear?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And one of the other jobs that I have now in retirement is that I'm a committee person, a Democratic committee person in my neighborhood. And when I talk to Republicans, they don't believe it. They believe that Trump is this nice man who's not going to do any wrong. And I don't care what you say to them, the misinformation is in there strong.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I'm going to keep on plowing. I'm going to keep on telling people, yo, this is what Biden has done in the last 4 years, which has really had a positive impact on our lives. This is what Trump did the 4 years he was in office.
No.
You just have to keep on plowing it. You just have to keep on pushing. Keep giving them that information.
You got to tell them the truth. The truth of the matter is, while he was president, every year they proposed cutting Social Security. I'm sorry. It's there. It's in his words. It's in his documents. It isn't getting more plain and simple than that. So last line of questioning I've got for you, because this is going to be a big election. You know, some say this could be the last free and fair election we ever have in our lifetime. I don't know that I'm that far yet, but what do you say to people who are, you know, maybe on the fence in this moment? What issue is this, the issue that people should be voting on? What are your thoughts?
I think it depends on the person. I think also the age. So when you talk about retired folk, the issues for us obviously is Social Security and Medicare. When you talk to younger folk, it's about paying back those college debt. And, you know, I have to always include, let them know that y'all know that Biden was the one who cut it. It's the Senate that won't pass it to be, you know, permanent, so that you don't have to worry about that college debt. And with college debt, then you can't start a home, a family, you can't buy a home. It just impacts so negatively on your quality of life. And then the last shoes. So depending on who I'm talking to, that's what I'm going to focus on. So I'm either going to be talking to you about women's reproductive rights, college debt, or Social Security and Medicare.
There you go. Vanessa, I appreciate you taking some time for me. Great stuff. Keep up the great work, and I hope to talk to you again sometime real soon. Thanks so much. Vanessa Fields, AFSCME retiree, former social worker. I want to hear your thoughts. Is this the big issue? Social Security, Medicare, all the things that Vanessa laid out? And what's your issue? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1905. That was the day a boiler explosion destroyed the R.B. Grover shoe factory in Brockton, Massachusetts. The boiler exploded as workers arrived for the day shift. 58 workers were killed and another 150 were injured. The boiler reportedly shot up through all three floors and the roof of the building. The floors collapsed and the walls caved in. Those who survived the initial explosion were fatally trapped by debris and machinery. Fires spread rapidly throughout the plant, ignited by broken gas lines and industrial solvents. The entire block, including nearby homes and businesses, were leveled to the ground. Many of the dead were never positively identified. The Leather Workers Union provided financial assistance. So did R.B. Grover, who was ruined financially by the disaster. Boiler inspectors concluded the explosion was caused by a manufacturing defect that was virtually impossible to detect. The courts held no one liable. By 1890, over 100,000 boilers providing steam heat were in use. Over 2,000 had exploded during the 1880s alone. The American Society of Mechanical Engineers had been in existence for some 25 years by the time the boiler exploded at Grover. They had released some guidelines, but it was clear that inspections were rare and standards were needed. The public outcry only grew in Massachusetts after another industrial boiler explosion occurred the next year. The state passed measures establishing rules of operation. By 1914, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers had successfully pushed back against manufacturers and railroad managers who opposed boiler regulations. They published the first edition of the National Boiler and Pressure Vessel Code. A National Board of Inspectors soon followed. Since then, regulations ensuring safe operation and maintenance have saved countless lives.
The Rick Smith Show. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
During a State of the Union, President Biden said if anyone tries to cut Social Security, which apparently he said no one wants to do, but he says if anyone tries to cut Medicare, I'll stop them. I'll veto it. And look, I'm not going to allow them to take it away or to be taken away. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. I don't know how much clearer you can get. Not going to happen. I am going to fight you on this. I am going to fight for it. I'm going to make sure that no one gets it, no one takes it. It's clear, concise, to the point. Now, you got Trump, who, now we're dancing. Well, he's asked, what are we going to do about entitlements? Well, there are things we can cut, And now the dance is, well, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse. The mythical office of waste, fraud, and abuse. Understand, Social Security and Medicare, two of the most well-run programs in the country, actually does what the mission says it should do with a small administrative cost. I mean, small, very, very small. Don't have CEOs making millions of dollars a year, aren't spending money on lobbyists and advertising and all kinds of... No. Doing the mission. And you've got one guy who's saying, it's not going to happen. Not on my watch. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. And you've got Trump who has a history of dancing all around the issue. Now understand, Republicans have wanted to cut Social Security since before it started. They were against it from the very beginning. Makes people lazy. Makes people not want to be accountable. Makes people think the government's going to take care of them, which is nonsense. It is a anti-poverty program and has done an incredible job in that mission. It was supposed to be part of the three-legged stool. If you remember, a little Social Security, a defined pension from your work after a lifetime of work, and whatever you could squirrel away. And that three-legged stool was, from my grandparents' generation, worked very well. My grandparents basically started their lives off homeless, had children, got jobs, or my grandfather got a job. My grandmother stayed home and raised the kids, but bought a house, led the American dream, and they lived out their golden years in that home with dignity and respect, without begging for handouts, without having to do GoFundMe accounts to get medicine, without begging the community, oh, please help, because I have to decide between medicine and cat food. It worked. And what you have is you have a Republican Party who's done a pretty good job of destroying that three-legged stool. Them and their corporate Democratic friends, gave us the wonders of the 401k and destroyed the defined benefit system. One leg gone. 40 years, 50 years of stagnant and declining wages. Well, that's whittled away at the savings part of it because people can barely afford to make it to tomorrow, let alone think about, down the road. And now they want Social Security. They want your Social Security money. They want it back. More importantly, they want to give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street so they could profit from it. Because one of the arguments, and I just saw an article with a former fast food restaurant CEO arguing that we should be putting the Social Security money, we should be putting that into Wall Street so that the next time it collapses, sorry, Granny, we're out of money. Because this is what the Republicans want. They want booms and busts so they can keep workers desperate. They want booms and busts so the people at the top can, profit, lots of profit. This is a social safety net program. Understand that. This is not the sole source of retirement. It was never meant to be, but sadly, it has become that. But it is to ensure that no one falls below a certain level. And we've used Social Security as a way to ensure that people have some bit of dignity. I think about myself. My mother passed when I was 13. And my grandparents, they may have been able to afford to take me in. But to be honest, as much as I ate as a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old athlete, they needed it. But the survivor benefit helped take care of me. They were able to buy clothing, put food on the table, get me the things that I needed. I know lots of people who benefit from that program and from disability benefits and all of this as our safety net. And Republicans have done their foolhardy best over the generations to try and weaken and destroy. And then to convince us, it's too costly. It's a luxury we can no longer afford. Or my favorite is still the gimmickry of privatization. That's your money. You could put it in the Wall Street. You can roll the Wall Street dice. You could be a millionaire. The thing that get me is we could fix our Social Security problems pretty quickly if we chose to. I've been a big supporter of scrapping the cap. I've been a big supporter of saying, look, if I pay 100% on my income, if you're making $4 billion a year, I think you could chip in a little bit more. But I look at this and the argument that it's an entitlement. No, it's a benefit that you worked for, you paid into. It's not that you deserved it, you earned it. And to now come back and say, we got to change the rules of the game. Understand, and I watched a video of the crack-addled hamster. What's his name? Ben Shapiro going on about, people think they can retire at 65. Well, I got to tell you, I don't get retirement until I'm 67. We've already raised the retirement age. We've done that for a generation of people. How about we think about how to ensure that it's solvent by solving the financial problem, which is couple-fold. One, the cap. fact that I think it's like, what, $140,000, $150,000 now. Everything over that, you don't pay anything on. So if you're making $4 billion a year by lunchtime on day one of the new year, you've paid everything you're going to pay into Social Security. I think that's wrong. Also, the way we're now calculating how people are workers as these new fangled independent contractors. Yeah, that's a way of screwing over Social Security and Medicare and unemployment and workers' comp and everything else that goes along with it. It's a good cheat. And understand, if corporate America can find a workaround, a loophole, a way to cheat, you know they're going to do it because they pay high-priced lawyers huge amounts of money to dream this stuff up. And they pay their lobbyists a lot more to ensure that they can. This is where working people have to make this clear. We demand Social Security be solvent, be taken care of, and not be taken away or privatized and profitized. We demand they do what they're supposed to. And as President Biden said during the State of the Union, instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. Now, remember, Rick Scott, his plan was all federal programs sunset after 5 years. Do you think the current House of Representatives, do you think the red hat wearing Republican Party, do you really believe that they would reauthorize Social Security and Medicare? You know, the people who told us that they want to repeal and replace the dreaded Affordable Care Act? I mean, Obamacare? Do you really think Social Security and Medicare would be reauthorized? So, Granny, let's play this out. You got Social Security and Medicare now. What happens if they do sunset it? Oh, Rick, you're just scaring her. These are their words. This is their policy. Understand the Rick Scott 11-point plan that says we sunset everything every 5 years. That is the only written Republican policy that I've seen since 2016. And when I have Donald Trump saying we're going to look at cutting things, and then everyone tap dancing, no, no, he meant waste, fraud, and abuse. I don't know what he meant. But I know what their actions have been. And I know during his tenure, that was in their budgets. They see a way of balancing their spending off of the backs of working people, you and me. They see their way of solving their inability to get our fiscal house in order, which means bringing in more revenue by taxing corporate America and the very wealthy. We're going to do that on the backs of the most vulnerable. And, you know, as we talked about at the beginning, you know, this idea that we can privatize is horrible. These Medicare Advantage plans are terrible. I hear it advertised on the radio all the time. Hey, you can get this blah, 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 Advantage plan. It's fabulous. You get this, you get that. You get all these sweeteners and this wonderful until you get sick. And as you heard, if you get sick, you are screwed. And that's how these gimmicks all work. Understand, these companies wouldn't be jumping in the middle of all this if they couldn't figure out a way to squeeze the quarter till the eagle screams. If they couldn't line their pockets with more for them and less for everybody else. This idea that somehow, oh, we're gonna find the workaround on Medicare. We're going to find a way to, you know, to make sure that, we're more efficient. Nonsense. It's a way of rationing care. It's a way of denying people care. Why? Because they figure, you go long enough, you might die and I might not have to pay for it. I know, I'm being cynical, but I'm not. The reality is these folks don't care about you, me, our kids, anyone. You know what they care about? Yeah. They care about profit. They care about the money in their pockets. And that's on every single front. What's that? Follow the money? And the money always leads back to the bankers and the wealth class. And it comes out of the pockets of people like you and me, which is why this election is so incredibly important. So the question is, who do you go for? The guy who's saying never cutting, not today, not tomorrow, not ever, or the guy, We could tap dance around. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program? Grab the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@therickssmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.